finishing our series on how not to stay offended, the danger of staying offended. I don't know about you guys, but I've found it useful. It's kind of shone a light on things for me that I didn't realize I'd been offended. It's been shining a light on me this week. There are things that I thought I'd forgiven people for, and I hadn't. So it's shone a light on that for me as well this week. So it's been of real value to me. I hope it's been of value to you, and I hope today will bless you as well. Let's pray as we pray each time before a message that we'll have understanding, because we all know that understanding is so important, don't we? If we don't understand this, that means it's been stolen. Stolen by the enemy. He wants to come in and get this word this morning, because this is important. So let's pray for understanding. Lord God, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for everyone here this morning and everyone listening. I thank you that it's time for us now to gather around your word. I thank you that you're going to minister to us through this word. And I thank you that it is the word of God that has the power to change our lives. Or rather, it is the understanding of the word of God that has the power to change our lives. So we thank you for that, Lord. And we pray this morning for these seeds that are about to be planted in our hearts. We pray that they'll go into good ground, and we pray for understanding so that it will bear fruit. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, week 5 of the danger of staying offended. We've looked at quite a lot already, haven't we? I think the best bit for me has probably been this mousetrap model. That really spoke to me. Scandalon. Literally means trap stick. That's what offense is. It's sent to bait you. It's sent to trap you. To steal blessings, to steal abundance, to kill. We've looked at what causes offense. We've looked at the types of offense. We've looked at ways to deal with the different offenses. And it's been quite easy, because once we see how we get offended, we just turn that around. And that's how we stop being offended. We get offended by not knowing the word, so what do? We try and know the word. So, thank you for that one amen, that one nod. Hallelujah. We've seen what to do to help us to stop being offended. Being in the word, increasing our maturity, rightly dividing the word. Today, I'm going to focus on an essential thing that we need in order to deal with offense. Jesus says offense comes along, doesn't he? He said it was impossible that offense will not come. Now, we could get into a situation where if we had absolute understanding of this, understood everything in this, we could live a life where we'll never get offended. That's what the word says. I'm not going to speak death, but I just wonder if that's going to happen in our lives. Yeah, I just wonder if there is a possibility that we may get offended in the future. And that we may stay offended. You know, this book says we can live a perfect life if we understand this. I don't know about you, but I don't understand all of this yet. I'm good, but I'm not that good yet. So there is the possibility that I might get offended, I might stay offended. So we need a way of processing that offense and getting rid of that offense. Yes? That's what we're going to look at this morning. And it boils down to forgiveness. Forgiveness. If you want to be able to get over an offense, whether it happened yesterday or last week, or like I heard in the teaching recently, 30 years ago, you need to be able to forgive that person. I say person because offense always comes through a person. From the enemy it can be, but it's through people. So what we need to do in able to get over that offense, I mean, I had been talking about how you process it. You try and remove the personality out of it. But in this instance, when we're talking about forgiveness, it's all about the person. and you need to forgive that person. So we have to learn to forgive. And here's the difficult bit, folks. We have to choose to forgive. We have to choose to forgive. You see, forgiveness is a choice. Whether you want to forgive somebody or not is your choice. I highly recommend it. God highly recommends it. The Word highly recommends it. But you know what? It's not everything that's highly recommended by God, by the Word, or by me that we do. We have to choose. It is a conscious choice, a conscious decision. And I'm going to get very personal today, folks. It is your personal responsibility whether you want to forgive or not. It is all down to you. I'm going to give you some awesome teaching this morning. Some wonderful revelation of the Word. It's going to be brilliant. Yeah, don't look surprised, Gene. Get that every week when you come here. I can give you some great, I can shower you in scriptures. I can give you awesome revelation about the Word. If you go out that door and don't choose to forgive, it's just, sometimes I want to, no, that's maybe not right. I can't shake you and make you forgive. You have to choose. It's your choice. It's a process as well. Because I absolutely recognize there may be some of us sitting in here, and at the end of this morning, we might have people that we think of or instances that we remember, offenses that we are still holding. You might not be able to forgive that person right now. It's a process. I've seen it working. It is a process, and it could take time, but you have to choose to start the process. You have to choose to start forgiving. It's a process, and it's a choice, and it is your responsibility. Now, quite often I say our, but I'm being really direct here this morning. It is your, try not to look anybody in the eye, it is your responsibility. You know that the Word says we can love because God loved us first, don't we? We know that. We can love out of His love. We also know that we give out of His abundance, out of His provision. Nancy mentioned that this morning as she was praying for the offering. We can give because we have been given. Yeah? The first key thing that we need to understand, we need to have a deep revelation of, is that forgiveness is the same thing and is in the same class of love and giving, that we can forgive because we have been forgiven. Amen. And that is really important, guys. We must get a revelation of that. If we're struggling with forgiveness, with forgiving our brother and sister, it's more than likely coming down to the fact that we don't understand our own forgiveness. We don't have a deep revelation of what we've been forgiven for. We don't have a revelation of how much we've been forgiven. Because if we can get that, I don't know about you guys, I've been forgiven for an awful lot. And my wife just said amen. We've all been forgiven an awful lot. We have all received much forgiveness from the Lord. Let's just look at the scriptures for that. Let's see this flow of forgiveness that I like to talk about. Let's first go to Ephesians 4, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The tenses in here is really important. We have to forgive one another. Future tense. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Past tense. Look at the grammar and the tenses in these sentences. It's really important. We forgive, future tense, because He hath forgiven us, past tense. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand which came first there. Ours is in the future, his is in the past. What came first? His. See, it's not difficult. The flow of forgiveness is not difficult. We can forgive because he hath forgiven us. Flow is not difficult. Just in case you didn't get it from Ephesians, let's look at Colossians. Colossians 3, verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Even as Christ forgave you. What tense is that? Past tense. Do ye, forgiving one another. What tense is that? Future. So again, it's the same message. We can forgive because he has forgiven us. But it's important, I'll look at later on the message. It's even as he hath. So we have to forgive like he has forgiven us. In the same manner that he has forgiven us. And that's really important. Our forgiveness needs to be modeled on his forgiveness. And that's where it gets a wee bit difficult. Because we'll see he forgave everybody for everything. So how do we have to forgive? What's the model we have to use? His model, which was everybody for everything. I don't know about you, but that can be quite difficult. It's impossible in our own strength, but we can do it in his strength. And it's not impossible in those kind of, because he said we can do it. We can forgive because he has forgiven us. If you have a true revelation of what you've had forgiven, and you know what you've done, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So don't sit there and tell me that you've got nothing to be forgiven for. Then I sit there and try and persuade yourself, well, I haven't been forgiven for that much. I've maybe been that bad. You have. You've sinned and come short of the glory of God. And nobody could come up to that standard apart from Jesus. Amen. So don't try and, you know, well, I'm not as bad as him. Well, you might have been, but you're worse than her. Then I try and grade yourselves, okay? Because if you try and grade yourselves, I'll grade you. All have fallen short. What was it? All have come short, fallen. What was it? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Thank you. I'm getting confused because I'm getting excited. We've had a lot to be forgiven for. Or we have been forgiven of a lot. I don't know which is correct grammatically, but never mind. We have to forgive in the same mode as God has forgiven us. And it's for a lot. Want to look at other thing about when God forgave us. God made a conscious choice to forgive us. Didn't he? That was part of why Jesus came. He wanted the reconciliation. He wanted us to be forgiven. He made a conscious choice. Let's look at Hebrews 10:17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. We're now living in that time. He has forgiven us. He has made the conscious choice. Now, I'm not going to say forget. He's made the conscious choice not to remember. Because I'm not going to ask you this morning that when you forgive someone, you have to forget about what they've done. But what I'm going to say is once you forgive someone, you have to choose not to remember. And that's different. Because I know there are people who have had some terrible hurts. And it would be almost unfair to ask people to forget that. And I don't think God asks us to do that as well. But what he does ask us is not to remember them, not to focus on them, not to churn over them again and again and again. Because if we do that, we will not be able to forgive. God chose to forgive us and then chose not to remember what he has forgiven us for, i.e. our sins. That's what we've been forgiven for, isn't it? We've been forgiven of our sins. So he has forgiven us, he has chosen not to remember our sins, not to remember what we were forgiven for. We need to do the same. When we forgive, we need to stop focusing on what we forgave that person for. We need to choose not to remember it. Because if you're still going over it and still remembering it, you can go back there and that offense will return. That's not true forgiveness. We choose whether to forgive or not. We choose whether to remember or not. We choose whether to focus on it. I'm not saying try and forget it, because that's not fair, it's not possible. But don't focus on it. Don't go back to it. Don't rent space in your head with it, is another phrase that we're kind of speaking about on Thursday night. Choose not to remember. It's not hurting that person. Sometimes we're doing it out of malice. We'd like to see that person getting what's coming. But by you sitting and focusing on it and meditating on it and mulling it over and churning it over, it's no harm in them. There's only one person that's hurting. Who is it? It's yourself. Because that unforgiveness and bitterness, I mean, science will now tell you, if you want to get arthritis, if you want to get an ulcer, get some bitterness and get some unforgiveness in your life. Because that's what bitterness and unforgiveness can cause. The science is telling us now. And two things that I've read recently, stomach ulcers, I mean, they've known about that for years. Worry, stress, bitterness, anxiety, unforgiveness, stomach ulcers. But they're talking about it being arthritis now. Because especially if it's long-term unforgiveness and bitterness does bad things in your body, causes illness, and can kill. Once again, science is catching up with the word. Because you see, what unforgiveness causes, it causes you torment. And the Greek word for that is pain, grief. It causes you torment. Let's go to Matthew 18. Now listen very carefully here. Very carefully. I don't want anyone misunderstanding this. Well, one phrase. In Matthew 18, I think it starts at 23. I'm not going to read it. I'll give you the Ladybird quick version of it. We see a master forgiving his servant for a huge debt. We then see that servant going out and not giving forgiveness and not releasing another person from a much smaller debt. You all know that parable, yeah. That story. So the guy who owes much has been forgiven a lot. He then goes out and he doesn't forgive someone else. He doesn't let them off with that debt. He gets it back. We then see the master. I need to phrase this correctly. We then see this phrase in verse 34. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. The servant was delivered to the tormentors. And verse 35 says the same will happen to us if we don't forgive or if we live in unforgiveness. Now, what this is not saying is that if you don't forgive, God is going to deliver you to the tormentors. If you don't forgive, God is going to set you right up and cause you grief and pain and anxiety. That is not what this is saying. It is saying there are laws and rules in place in this world that if we do certain things or don't do certain things, there are consequences. Yeah? Now, you know fine that in this church we preach that your sin does not have an effect on God. Yes? All your sins have been forgiven. God does not punish you because of your sins. You know that? Yeah. But you also know that if you sin, there are consequences. You know that if you sin, you can get caught, you know, caught speeding, for example. If you're speeding, there's no consequence. God's forgiven you for that. That's past. God's chosen not to remember that. You can't say that to the policeman that stops you. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry I was going 60 and a 30 mile an hour, but that's irrelevant. I've been forgiven by God. It's okay. No, there are consequences. There are rules and regulations in place, and there are consequences for your sin on this earth. They're not consequences put there by God. God's not punishing you for speeding. There are consequences for drinking too much, smoking too much, eating too much, taking too much heroin, blah, blah, blah. There are consequences, but it's not God punishing you. You understand that, yes? Yeah, good. Well, transfer that onto these verses. It's the same thing. God's not saying, you don't forgive that boy, I'm going to zap you and torment you. It's like the Sermon on the Mount. We know Jesus is not literally saying, if you don't forgive, my Father's not going to forgive you. There are consequences. If we are living in unforgiveness, we are delivered into torment. That is a rule. That is a regulation. That is a consequence on this earth. It's not God delivering you up to be tormented. It's not God saying, aye, that's okay. It's not God saying, right, I'm going to get you. That's not what it's saying. What Jesus is saying is, there are consequences. It's like he said to, who was it? The woman taken in adultery. Go and sin no more. Remember, he gave her forgiveness and all that first, but he said, go and sin no more, because he knew there are consequences for sin on this earth. It's not that God was going to zap her, but he just knew there are consequences. So it's like that here. If we don't forgive, if we live in unforgiveness, there are consequences. And that consequence, according to this verse, is torment. Literally translated means pain. Now go and ask the scientists and the doctors, I've told you already. They're catching up with us. Live in bitterness and unforgiveness. Torment. Stomach ulcers. Arthritis. Whatever you want to call it, whatever it is. It's not God wanting to zap you. It's like God doesn't hold our sin against us. But there are consequences for sinning. God's not going to stop forgiving us if we don't forgive. But there are consequences of living in unforgiveness. We torment ourselves. We torture ourselves. We let the enemy torture us. We cause ourselves pain. I mean, that verse there, no wonder folk get ill because of unforgiveness. Delivering themselves to torment. God not doing it, but as a consequence of our actions. Did you all get that? God not doing it, consequence of our actions. Unforgiveness is not good for us. Guys, let's be completely selfish for a second, which I know none of you are. Let's be completely selfish for a second. Forgiving someone is really good for you. It's good for your health. In this area of your life, if you forgive one, it shuts the door on sickness in that area of your life. We might be ill in other areas, but it shuts the door on sickness in that area. It's important. Really important. And our forgiveness needs to be modeled on God's forgiveness. If that wasn't hard enough, here we go. Here's something really hard. I've already touched on it. It needs to be modeled on God's forgiveness. Let's look at three scriptures and see what God's forgiveness is based on, and then see how we need to model our forgiveness. Go to 1 John 2 verse 2. 1 John 2 verse 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins. So Jesus is the payment for sin. That's why forgiveness could flow. Yeah? He is the propitiation. He's paid it for our sins. And not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. How much sin has Jesus paid for? All. How much forgiveness has been given? All. How much forgiveness was required? It's all been given. Because it's all been paid for. Hebrews 10, verse 12 to 14. But this man, who's that man? Jesus. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, how long? Forever. I.e., Ahan. If you're writing it down, that's A-H-I-N. Ahan. Everything. Sat down on the right hand of God. What do you do when you finish your work? You sit down. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. How much sin has he dealt with? Everything. What's been forgiven? Everything. Forever, for all time. Future stuff as well. You really got hope it's for the future, because all your sins was in the future when he did this. Because it was 2,000 years ago you were forgiven. All. He's dealt with everything. He's paid for it all. Everything has been forgiven. Even all that horrible, everything has been forgiven. Every sin that has ever been done, is ever doing, happening now, or ever will happen, has been dealt with, the propitiation has been paid, and has been forgiven. Everything. Romans 3, verse 22 to 24. Remember, we're looking at the model for God's forgiveness, or the mode of his forgiveness, because we need to model ours on his. Romans 3:22-24. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's interesting, I started highlighting my Bible in my old church. And the only bit I've got highlighted on these three verses is, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I haven't highlighted the good bits before and after, but never mind. I'll do them in a different color later. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This is saying everybody has been forgiven for everything. Justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Everybody has been forgiven, but not everybody has been made righteous, because not everybody has believed. This is not a case for universalism. Everybody has been forgiven, but not everybody is righteous, because they've not all believed. But the big thing from this verse is, everybody has been forgiven for everything. Everybody has been justified freely by his grace. Everybody has had this redemption. The payment has been made. I don't know how many times I'm going to say it, but according to God, everybody has been forgiven for everything. Bottom line from this message that you need to take away, you need to forgive everybody for everything. We cannot hold on to unforgiveness in any area of our lives. If we want to model our forgiveness, as he has forgiven us, it is everybody for everything. There is no case to say, well, okay, yeah, theft, maybe. It's coming in front of me in the roundabout, maybe. Yeah, but, and you know all the biggies. But the biggies? Yeah. The biggies as well. Because even the biggies, God's forgiven people for. The littlies that we grade. You know, God doesn't have littlies and biggies in terms of sin. You know, sin's a sin's a sin. And we're the ones that grade it. Oh, that's not such a bad sin. That's a bad sin. No. Everybody for everything. Covers everything we can grade for. If we want to model our forgiveness on him, it's everybody for everything. Bottom line, we need to forgive them. It's like, this might sound harsh, but if God's forgiven them, what right do you have not to? Let me rephrase that. If God's forgiven them, what right do we have not to? Who made us the judge and the jury? But Vic, people keep doing the same things to me. People do it over and over again. Are you telling me I have to forgive them every single time? Yeah, Evelyn's nodding. You know what's coming, Evelyn. Yes. Well, can I not stop forgiving them on the 491st time? According to what Jesus said. Let's have a look at what Jesus said. Matthew 18. You need quite a good little black book if you want to tally your offences and then you can jump on their head on the 491st time. Matthew 18, 21 and 22. That's Matthew 17. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Yeah, so that's quite a lot. Can I get him on the eighth? Do I forgive him seven times? What's Jesus say? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. So that's okay. So we can tally up our offences and forgive people up until they do the same thing 490 times. But then on the 491st, I'm going to jump on your head. Because I don't have to forgive you anymore. Do you think, it's like 490 a magic number or something? Is that the point at which Jesus says, God says, well, you've done really well. You know, that's great. Yeah, you've forgiven them 490 times. But you know, on the 491st, you don't have to do that. Does that tally up with the everybody for everything model of God's forgiveness? No. So we don't take the numbers literally. 490 is a measure of infinity. They didn't do big numbers back then. They didn't know about, you know, 10 to the 25 and all that kind of big numbers. They didn't know how far the sun was, you know, so many millions, billions of miles. They didn't do big numbers back then. Jesus is saying, you have to forgive them an infinite amount of times. Every time they do it, you need to forgive them. 490 times. It's like a picture of infinity. Now you might say, 490 is near a lot. No, but it was a big number back then. Probably most of them couldn't even multiply. 70 times 7, how many is that? It's a huge number. It's talking about infinity. It is not literal. To them, 490 was unimaginable. Oh, imagine owning 490 camels. That's just unimaginable. A lot of camels. No, 490 is a huge number. It is a picture of infinity. Couldn't be counted. He's saying you need to forgive people that often that you just can't count how many times you've forgiven your brother. You just can't count how many times you've forgiven that whoever, that neighbor. Everybody, for everything, however many times they do it. All people for everything. Now, you could be sitting there and thinking, or you might be listening and thinking and saying, well, Vic, you don't know what happened. I cannot forgive. You might be sitting there and thinking, well, Vic, you don't know what's happened. I will not forgive. Are those two choices that we can sometimes make? I'm not looking for hands or nodding heads, but I will maybe hands and nodding heads. I cannot forgive. I will not forgive. Let's deal with, if you're sitting there and thinking, and don't get offended. If you're sitting there and thinking, I will not forgive, let me tell you what that is. Willful disobedience. Not to your pastor, but willful disobedience to God. If you are thinking, I will not forgive that person, willful disobedience. Shall I say it again? Willful disobedience. I was sitting in a prayer study, a Bible study and prayer meeting with two brothers. It was quite a few years ago, because I'd like to think I wouldn't say this now. But we were sitting in a Bible study, and it was like our normal Bible study I had with that bloke, those blokes. We had a huge breakfast. We spoke about everything else, and we had like, 30 seconds to pray. You know, let's pray before we leave. So we're sitting there one day, and we got to talking about politics. And we got talking about politics we had now, politics in the past, and what had happened. I was pastor at a previous church at the time. And I said, I will never forgive Margaret Thatcher for putting the poll tax into Scotland first. And it went really quiet. And my mate said, really quietly, do you realize what you just said? And I said, yeah, I'll never forgive her for putting poll tax into Scotland. He said, no, nothing to do with poll tax. Nothing to do with that. You just realize you've just said, I will never forgive that woman? And I thought, oh my goodness. That is so contrary to God's word. We can say things like that without even thinking. That is a terrible thing to say about anyone. I will not forgive. That was willful. I mean, I didn't have an understanding, a true understanding of the word, but I was pastor. But I didn't have the understanding of the word that I have now. Willful disobedience. Because what does God say? I've forgiven everybody for everything. I want you to forgive as I have, in the model that I have. So, yeah. Everybody for everything. So, I've said it. But it might sound harsh, but it's the truth. What about the cannot? What about the, if you're sitting there thinking, I cannot forgive, it's just too hard, there's a couple of things for that. If you're sitting thinking that, dare I say or respectfully say, you don't have a true revelation of your own forgiveness. If you're thinking, I cannot forgive that person, you haven't understood how much you've been forgiven. In some area about forgiveness, there's a lack of knowledge and a lack of revelation. Because bottom line is, God has said to do it. He wouldn't ask us to do something that it wasn't within our grasp to do. Yes, in our own strength, like you rightfully say, in our own strength, it's probably impossible. But through an understanding of the word, through time with the Holy Spirit, through speaking it through and praying it out with fellow believers, we might be able to get that revelation and get that understanding and then be able to do it. But God says, you can do it. So we cannot sit here and say, I cannot forgive. Because the word says, you can. Because we have to model our forgiveness on his forgiveness, and his forgiveness is everybody for everything. So he wouldn't expect us to do that if we didn't have the capability, if he hadn't given us the tools to do it. He's not leaving us to do it on our own. He's given us the Word, he's given us the Holy Spirit, he's given us one another. We can do it. So we cannot say, I cannot forgive. We cannot. We cannot say we cannot. Is that proper? Yeah. We can. There. If we're in these two camps, if you're saying will not, that's easy. You're in disobedience, stop it. Subtle enough? If it's cannot, you need to study, meditate the Word, get with the Holy Spirit, get with other believers, get a deeper revelation of your own forgiveness, and then you will be able to forgive. You know, if you get the understanding, well, I've been forgiven because of the blood of Jesus. I've been forgiven because of his work. I've been forgiven because he was worthy. It's nothing to do with me. Once you understand that your own forgiveness is nothing to do with you, nothing to do with your good works, you can then pass that forgiveness on to someone else because there's nothing they need to do. You know what, folks? They don't have to come and say sorry before you have to forgive them. They don't have to come and say sorry. You need to forgive them. It's as simple as that. Once we understand that our own forgiveness, because what Jesus has done, is unconditional, absolute, and complete, we should then be able to pass that forgiveness on to other people. Because the way we forgive people, other people, should be unconditional, absolute, and complete. It's on the model of God. Oh. But Vic, let's get back to that. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they've done to me. You might have led a sheltered life, Vic, and not had anything like this, but you don't know what they've done to me. You don't know why I can't forgive. That's correct. I don't know what you've gone through. But God does, and he's told you to forgive. This is not me telling you this. It's God. When God, you know, when God... dished out's not the correct word. When Jesus died 2,000 years ago and we received our forgiveness, poured out forgiveness, do you think there was some big sins that he hadn't seen coming and he'd forgot about? There is nothing big enough that hasn't been covered by the blood of Jesus. There's nothing big enough that God hasn't been able to forgive. So there should be nothing big enough in our lives for us not to forgive for. Now, I know that's really difficult. It can be really difficult to listen to that, folks. You know, I know it can be hard. But I have to be blunt here that if God says you can forgive people, you can forgive people. We have brothers and sisters around us to help. We're here to help. You know, pastor here to help. Elders here to help. We're here to help minister one another. We can help each other get through this. But I've said bottom line a lot today. Bottom line is we need to forgive everybody for everything. I know it's hard, folks, but you can do it. Honestly. You can do it. It is your choice. We can help you, but it's your choice. Now, I have seen this process with my own eyes. And quite recently, I was sitting opposite someone, and they were pouring out these things, and my heart bled for them. And I saw the pain and the anguish, and then I saw the relief when they forgave those people. It was like a weight was lifted off their shoulder and their whole countenance changed by forgiving these couple of people. And it wasn't easy things to forgive. Let me tell you, they were quite big things. You know, if we're grading it, they were quite big things. But they went through this process and we were sitting and speaking and eventually I just said, well, you know, as blunt as I am, well, you know you need to forgive them, don't you? Yes. And then they did it, spoke it out, and I truly believe that it was heartfelt, and they really meant it. And their whole countenance changed. Weight lifted off. It was amazing. I tell you what, it was an honor as a pastor or as a brother and sister to see it. It was wonderful. The power of forgiveness in your life is amazing. You can see a difference in them. It was wonderful. It was a privilege to be there, to be honest. But you'll not get there and make that choice if you really don't have a revelation about your own forgiveness. That's got to come first. If you're struggling in this area, you must get a revelation of your own forgiveness. So when we move into ministry and we're doing some more worship, if that's you, get around some people and start speaking out the truths. Get them to speak the truths over you. I'll do it. I'll speak the truths over you about forgiveness. Let's try and get a deeper revelation of our own forgiveness. Okay, so that's the first thing I do. And then what will I do if I'm struggling, Vic? Well, you know what? Here's a good tip. Even if you don't believe it, start speaking it out with your mouth. Even if you know, because we know, even if you know in your heart of hearts, I'm not ready or willing or able yet to forgive that person. Get into this process of studying and meditation, but also speak out, I forgive person A. I forgive them for that thing. I release that debt. I'm not holding that anymore. I speak it out. Because we know there's other scriptures in play. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Stop saying, I can't forgive them. Stop saying, I won't forgive them. Start saying, I forgive them. If you have to say it for a week or a month or a year, say it for a week or a month or a year. That you actually do forgive them. Speak it out. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I'm not going to name names, but this is what Nunzi did. I'm sorry. No. Let me finish before you laugh and berate me. Let me finish. I'm not going to name the person that Nunzi had a problem with. Okay? Right? Okay? So, Nunzi had an issue once with this person. Just the one. It was a while ago now. But I can't remember if it was couldn't or wouldn't. We don't need to go there. But she had a problem with forgiving this person. And I remember her saying, really vividly, you know what? I'm just going to speak it out until I actually believe that I forgive them. I'm just going to speak it out. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. As a man thinketh, so is he. Speak it often enough. Study your word. You know, it'll happen. It's a process. I'm just going to speak it out. And she did. I can't remember how long it took. But I do remember at a point when Nunzi said, that's sorted now. That's gone. That's sorted. That's forgiven. And I know Nunzi now could meet that person. I don't know if you'd want to shake the hand, smile or whatever. But it wouldn't be through gritted teeth. It's a process. Can't remember how long it took. But it happened. But you know what else Nunzi got during that time? A deep revelation of how much she'd been forgiven. And that took quite a while. The process that Nunzi went through was get a revelation of her own forgiveness. And that was through teaching and through the word and listening to good teachers and the Holy Spirit and whatever and looking at her Bible. Get a deep revelation of her own forgiveness and actually speak out of forgiveness for that person while she didn't believe it. And those combination of those things resulted in the fact that she can't even remember it now. It's as if it didn't happen. That's one case when you can't forget it. That's if you can't forget it, that's brilliant. I'm not saying you have to forget it. I'm saying you have to choose not to remember it. Yeah. Brilliant. Forgiven. And I'm kind of going against this thing. The next stage, stop thinking and talking about it. And I've just reminded her. But it's... sorry. The next stage, stop thinking about it. If you truly believe that you've forgiven someone, just stop focusing on it. Just move on. Just forget about it. During the first worship song, I was standing here and I got a picture, and it was a picture of faces of two people. I'm not going to mention names. Two people on balloons, and I was holding tightly to these balloons. And they must have been helium balloons, because when I let them go, they just went up into the air and away. And God said, yeah, you hadn't truly forgiven them, Vic, had you? Just let it go. And it's just, you know, see when those helium balloons are gone, are you ever you going to catch them again? No. What is the point? Running after, you're never going to catch those helium balloons again. So that's the thing about forgiveness. It's like, let it go. And I think that's what the Lord was saying. Don't chase after it again. Truly forgive people and just let it go, and then never bother with it again. I'm not saying never bother with them again. Just never bother with the offense again. See, true forgiveness. And that'll be the test. When I meet those people whose faces were on the balloons, there's the true test. When I meet them, how do you greet them? Do you smile? Do you say hello? Is it through gritted teeth? Do you give them a hug? Do you want them to be blessed? There's a true sign of forgiveness. When you forgive someone and you meet them and you want them to be blessed. Because what's God done to them? Forgiven them for everything. What's he also done through the blood of Jesus and through the cross? Blessed them what with? All spiritual blessings. It's a cracker, isn't it? Not only do I have to forgive them, if we're wanting to model it on God, he wants them to live an abundant life. That's what he gave Jesus for. So we've not truly forgiven them, so we want to hold back what Jesus done on the cross for those people. Now, I'm not saying we're consciously thinking that way, but that's what we're doing. If we haven't forgiven someone and we're still holding malice, because that's just not wanting to be fully blessed and fully abundant. You know, we're almost trying to claw back Jesus on the cross from them. I hadn't actually thought about that until just now. It's like wanting them to have malice, it's the opposite of wanting them to be blessed and to live in abundance. God's forgiven them. He wants them blessed in abundance. Doesn't matter what they've done to you. God's still forgiven them and still wants them blessed. You want to model your forgiveness on him? We should be wanting them to be blessed as well. Man, that just makes it even harder, doesn't it? Now, guys, we're here to help each other. I'm not standing here as the model of perfection. Oh, I'm sorry to disappoint you. Guys, there's no pedestal big enough to get me on it. Then I put me on a pedestal. I'm not standing here pontificating to you. It might sound like that, but this is all this is your responsibility for your life. I can help you move towards forgiveness. I can point out scriptures to you, like Hebrews 11:15. Saying, don't look back. Don't look back. Don't have an opportunity to go back to that offense. You know, in Abraham, it was talking about his country, but for us, it's that offense is gone. Let it go. Don't look back. Or in the analogy of the balloons, don't keep looking up and trying to find them and chasing them. Let it go. I can point you out to scriptures to that. I can point you to scriptures like Philippians 3:13. Think on good things, nothing but good things. Don't go back to the offenses. True forgiveness is when you will feel no malice, no anger, not want hurt, not want to get that person back. When you stop thinking negative thoughts about them, when you stop thinking sarcastic thoughts about them. Thinking things like that is not true forgiveness. True forgiveness is when you stop thinking negative thoughts about people. Issues still coming up. If you thought you'd forgiven someone, but those little niggles are still there, That's not true forgiveness. True forgiveness is when you can meet them and hug them and greet them with a smile and want them to be blessed. It might take us a while to get there for some people with some things, but it's a process, people. Don't give up, please, don't give up. Please stop saying, I can't forgive. Please stop saying, I won't forgive or I will not forgive. Please get on this process. It might take you a long time, because there are many of us with deep hearts. I know that. But there are no exceptions. That word all means the exclusion of nothing. All sin has been forgiven for all time. Forgiveness from God has flowed for everything. If we want to model our forgiveness on the model of forgiveness that God's given, it's everybody for everything. Now that might be a process some of us are working on for the rest of our lives. It might be a process some of us get bottomed off really quickly. But I think it is a process every one of us probably needs to get involved in. You know, is there anyone sitting in here this morning? Don't show hands or, yeah, because I'll don't put your hand up, because I'll just tell you to put it down again. You know, is there anybody in here who has got absolutely no forgiveness issues in their life this morning? Is there anybody in here that can honestly say, yes, I truly believe I have forgiven everybody for everything? Say, put your hands up now. I'd be putting both hands down. I think this is a process we all need to get involved in. Now, I don't want you to sit there and rack your brains and try and drag up dirt. You know, if you kind of think anything, that's fair enough. I may be completely wrong. I may be speaking death over you or speaking out of turn. If that's your life, hallelujah. If it is, I'll find some other area for you to work on. That wasn't very fair. You know, I say this quite a few times, folks. There's areas in our life we all need to be working on, isn't there? I mean, the word says we can be perfect. And when it says we can move to perfection, that means our body and our mind, because our spirit is already perfect. The word says we can be perfect, but there's no one in this room living in 100% health, 100% healing, 100% prosperity, 100% joy, 100% peace. So it all means we've got some area of our lives to renew, or our minds to renew. And I would, if I was a betting man, I would put on a bet that quite a lot of us have got one or two or three or four or five forgiveness issues. Bottom line, this, how many times have I said bottom line? Another once. This, I believe, is the most important message in this series about the danger of staying offended and how we can stop being offended. And that is, once we're in offense, the only way we are going to get out of it is by forgiving people. And I'll say it again, we have to forgive everybody for everything. And even as I'm speaking, the Lord is telling me, that's great you're saying that to your people, Vic, but what about him? What about him? What about her? So I've got areas to work on, folks. I think we all have. Amen. We're going to move into a time of worship. I don't know how this is going to go. I'm willing to pray with people. I say with people because I can't pray for you to forgive someone. I can't. I can pray for you to get a revelation about your own forgiveness. I can pray for you to get a revelation of the Word. I can pray for you to want to get a revelation of the Word. But what I think we should be doing for is praying with each other about issues, about situations, about, it doesn't have to be specific, it can be general. You know, minister to someone, speak over them, be positive. If you want ministry, ask the person next to you. You know, all know you're all able ministers of the New Covenant. You all know you can minister one to another. Yeah? You've all got the same Holy Spirit inside you that I've got, that Paul had got. It's not that Paul's any special, or the pastor's any special. If you want me to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. But you can pray with one another. Minister to one another. Is there someone that you're particularly close to, you want them to pray for you? Go and ask them to pray for you. Or pray with you, sorry. But we're going to move into a time of worship. I'll do communion at some point. If you want me to encourage you and pray with you, please do. But take the opportunity to minister and encourage one another. This is really important, guys. If we have unforgiveness, it's not good for us. Really not good. Now, I know this, you could be sitting there thinking, oh, that was a really hard message. It's the kind of message that if I'd heard 5 or 6 years ago, I'd have been at the door. So bless you for all staying.